Chapter 97. A Voice in the Darkness. I thought it was finished. He killed Kali. Why are they still coming?
She lied, another voice said, Dorian's voice. She wasn't the Queen of the Strangers, only an ally. Our work isn't done yet, not by half. We need Kurok.
Kylar opened his eyes as someone touched him. Sister Ariel stood over him, and he was curled on the floor with Eline.
We need the sword, child.
Her voice was gentle, but firm.
Now. Kali's dead, Kylar, but Eline's not yet. But her wound can't be healed. Nothing can mend what Kurok cuts. Sister Ariel said. We need you, both of you, or we'll never stop the Krell.
Kurok was buried almost to the hilt in Eline's side. Her eyelids fluttered briefly but didn't stay open.
I can't, Kylar said.
Sister Ariel put a thick hand on the hilt and drew it out swiftly. Eline grunted weakly, and a wash of blood poured from her ribs.
Open the doors! Dorian shouted. Both sides!
Do it! Logan shouted. Do everything he says!
The 200 Verdmeisters lay in concentric rings, all dead, all bleached white. The Veer itself was dead. But the Krull hadn't been affected. They still surrounded the Hall of Winds in a vast, churning black ocean, and even now some of the most frightful of them were winning their way to the front of their lines. Shoulder to shoulder, Siorans and Lee-Naught and Cenarians and Sethi and Caladoran soldiers fought the Horde. Kylar had somehow thought that killing Kali would mean a total victory, but the Krull on every side, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of them, told another story. The army of men in the center was like a lonely rock in the face of the incoming tide.
God!
There was no way they could stand up to so many. Someone squeezed Kylar's shoulder. It was Logan. His cheeks glistened with tears of mingled joy and sorrow.
Kylar, brother, come. We have a chair for her.
Logan squeezed his shoulder again, and that touch was worth a thousand words. The earth shook again, but Kylar didn't turn from Eline, who was breathing lightly now. The flow of blood had slowed. The open doors had magnified the cacophony of the battle. Kylar barely heard it. He allowed himself to be prodded into place in a tight circle between the open doors. Sister Ariel laid Kurok unsheathed across a dozen palms. Pushed by Durzo, Kylar put his hand on the blade. Durzo took Kylar's other hand in both of his. It was an uncharacteristically tender gesture, and Durzo held it until Kylar looked at him. As ever, Durzo didn't have words, but there was a respect in his eyes, and shared heartache, and pride. It was the look of a father whose son has done something great, and that look from Durzo told Kylar he was an orphan no more. Then, with Kylar's hand still in his, Durzo cupped his hand, a request in his eyes. Kylar understood, and let the Kakari flow out into his hand, and gave it to Durzo. Durzo nodded and released his hand. Then Vi put her hand next to his on Kurok, just touching him. Conscious once more, Eline put hers on the other side of Kylar's. Several powerful magi of both genders knelt, each reverently resting two fingers on the blade. Solon and Sister Ariel did the same. Durzo had retribution, Ioris, in hand. It was black-bladed, but its grip was uncovered, and Durzo spoke quietly to Dorian as he handed the prophet the Staff of Law. As he touched Curoc, Kylar became aware of everyone else touching the blade. They sounded like an orchestra warming up, each on his own instrument and pitch. Then, beneath them, Curoc began humming. As Dorian had laid his right hand on the blade, his left hand still holding Ioris, a gust of wind blew through the hall. Solon found his pitch first, a bass as deep as his speaking voice, wide and strong, oceanic. Sister Ariel matched him, a powerful mezzo, broad but sharper. Then the Magi joined in a chorus of baritones and basses, pure and simple and masculine, laying the foundation. The Magi settled over them, fine and feminine, adding depth and complexity. Vi joined, her talent like a high note with a rapid vibrato, higher than any of the others could possibly go. Then a startling new voice joined, richer than any of the others, layered in mystery. A baritone with such depth and range, it dwarfed all the others put together. Kylar's eyes shot open, and he and everyone else stared at Durzo, who had laid a single insolent finger precisely on Curoc's point. Then, Kylar felt his place. He sang a tenor, soaring over the other men, interweaving with Vi. He himself was startled at the power of his voice and noticed that all eyes had turned to him, as awed as they had been when Durzo joined. Fierce pride filled Durzo's eyes. Through the euphony, Kylar noticed something else, suffusing the whole. It was hope. And that voice, if voice it could be called, was all Eline. Her hope, even as she was dying, drew forth hope from each of them. And with that revelation, Kylar saw that Curoc wasn't a simple tool of magic. It was an amplifier of talent. Curoc amplified the whole man. Eline's beacon of hope, Durzo's titanic determination, Dorian's penitence and astounding focus, Ariel's intelligence, Logan's courage, Vi's longing for a new beginning, Kylar's love of justice, the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, sacrifice, hatred of evil, feelings martial and impulses nurturing. Through it all, the glue that made the magic was love, and love sounded each instrument from its top to its bottom notes, and each man and each woman performed beautifully, heroically, some capable of only a few notes, some with huge range but little depth, and some of them true masters, but each giving all. The Hall of Winds itself reacted to the perfection of magic building inside its walls. Tapestries of colored light danced through the walls, magic made visible even to the non-talented, and wove together as the magic wove together. Radiance bathed them, and the magic growing inside was echoed to the world. The warriors outside, battling incredible odds, felt a sudden assurance, as if they were children fighting a bully, and the bully had just caught sight of their father coming. As the music climbed, directed by Dorian, Kylar could see the score laid out before him. His vision widened, and he saw not just his own part. Climbing, climbing, another voice was needed. One beyond any of the people in the hall. Their talents built to a crescendo, and everyone blazed like the sun. There was so much magic in Kylar's blood and in the air, it was almost intolerable. He was standing in a furnace. Everything Kylar had was sinking into Kurok, and still the magic Dorian was attempting demanded more. A distant whistling sounded, high over the roar of battle. Kylar's eyes flicked open. He looked at Dorian. The mage shifted his grip on Kurok, leaving the hilt free, shifting their holds so that the hilt pointed toward heaven. The man was more audacious than Kylar could believe. Even with all these mages working together, they didn't have the power needed to end this. So Dorian had set a trap to join their will to the one beast that had the power to impose that will on the world. Kylar was aghast. He couldn't even understand everything Dorian was trying to do. Dorian grinned at him, and Kylar wasn't sure if what he saw in the man's eyes was sane or mad. Through the southern door, Kylar could see all the way to the pass to Toros Bend, and as he watched, a streak of fire appeared. It crossed the river, not bothering with a bridge, and plunged through the lines of Krull without slowing. It moved too fast to see. Kylar could only judge its progress by the cloud of dust and smoke and blood that trailed it, the shockwave rippling through bodies, crashing back to the earth long after it was gone. In seconds, it had gone from the distant pass to the old lines where Black Barrow had stood. Kylar realized why Dorian had opened the doors. If he hadn't, the damn thing would have blasted right through the walls. The whistling and the magic crescendoed as one. Through Kurok, for a split second, Kylar felt the hunter as it seized the offered hilt of Jorsan Alkesti's mighty blade to snatch it away from them. And Kylar knew him. A crack of thunder leveled everyone in the room. Magic obliterated everything.